either adapt or you become extinct. Tradition is dead. In this advanced business show, we discuss underground marketing strategies and tactics with top entrepreneurs that big business doesn't want you to know. You're listening to Dropping Diamonds with your host, Daniel Lizalde.
Hey, what's up? This is Daniel Lizalde, and welcome to Dropping Diamonds. Now, today is episode number 21. I am super pumped. I am excited. I have a special guest for you. He is a hacker. He is a programmer. He is the CEO of Disrupt. Now, I have the pleasure of introducing Anthony Delgado. Anthony, brother, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So, Anthony, we're gonna start digging in. We're gonna expose your story and some of your struggles, and what it really takes to get to where you're at. Now, tell me a little about yourself.
So, I've been a software engineer and serial entrepreneur for the last 10 years now. My mother was a computer programmer, so I had a computer when I was in the second grade, and I was always a tinkerer and a builder. I loved creating things, so I built a hoverboard for the science fair in like fourth grade, and I won the science fair 3 years in a row. And I was always creating things and building things, and explorer and a builder of technology. And then, you know, you go to high school and you're with the partying and the girls and the distractions. And, you know, I went through a little bit of that in college before I dropped out. And then I found entrepreneurship. So I dropped out of college. I started my own company, and I opened a brick and mortar retail store, and I operated that for a few years. And then I ended up selling that business. And when I sold the business, I had asked the person who purchased it, you know, what was the defining factor? Like, you know, in my mind, in my kind of simple young mind, you know, we had X thousand dollars worth of inventory in the store, and that's all the store was worth. The store was only worth the amount of inventory that was in it. And I couldn't understand and see how it could be worth exponentially more because of the brand that we had built and the customers that we had, et cetera. So he mentioned some of those things, but then one of the things that he also mentioned was our website. He said, you know, before I even came to meet you to inquire about purchasing this business, I looked at your website and, you know, it was super solid. I saw the brand and, you know, I kind of fell in love with the culture of the brand. And that's when I realized like the true power of the internet. You know, at that time I had already been a digital entrepreneur. You know, I was making six figures on eBay and Amazon when I was 18 years old. Like as soon as I got a debit card and was allowed to get on there, I was off to the races. Nice. But to really see the value that someone was able to cut me, a six-figure check for my business based on the brand that I had established online, it really kind of flipped the switch and let me see the value in digital.
Awesome. Now, what do you think was an important factor in your life from incorporating your love for computers with entrepreneurship? How did you marry the two together? Because a lot of times, you know, I'll meet computer hackers or programmers, and their mind is computers, hacking. Like they're in that little box. Not that I want to categorize them in there, but
sure.
How do you jump from hacker, programmer, to entrepreneur? How do you marry that? I want to help some people out there that have major skills that really want to put the two together, but they just don't know how to deal with the money factor.
Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a couple of different things there, and we can decompress some of them. One of them is the money factor. So a lot of people view money as like a bad thing or a negative thing. And, you know, like anything in life, it can be used for harm, right? If I took Band-Aids, but I, you know, threw them in your face, it wouldn't be a nice way. Like I can do bad things with anything, even things that are designed for good.
Yeah.
So the same thing is true with money. And a lot of hackers and coders and things of that nature, it does lend itself to people who are socially outcasted. It does lend itself to people who, you know, are sometimes introverted. because it is a skill where, you know, you're alone, you're in front of a computer, you have headphones on, you're kind of like zoned out, you know, there's that stereotype of like the crazy hacker guy in his mom's basement and all that yeah. stuff, right? Yeah. And, you know, while that's a stereotype, there is a certain sort of like a rebel or an anarchist type of mentality that goes along with being a hacker, right? A lot of them don't believe in the system. A lot of them are socialist in their beliefs.
Now, was your mom, now you said your mom was into computer programming. So she planted that seed in you. So was she also entrepreneurship minded, or how did you connect the dots?
So, yeah, I mean, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, my mom is probably like my hugest role model. And I learned a lot from her. And now that you mentioned that, so she was a computer programmer in the 80s, but for the last 10 years, she's been a digital entrepreneur. So she's not necessarily a coder anymore. Okay. What she focuses her skills on now is selling things via e-commerce. So things on like eBay and Amazon and stuff of that nature. And my first website ever was on my mom's server. So that kind of lets you know like where the DNA kind of comes from. And yeah, so I had sold my first business, like I said, and I took the proceeds and I invested in a digital startup. And it was a competitor to eBay.
Okay.
And I knew at that point, like this much coding, like I had coded a little bit when I was a kid. I built my first website when I was still a kid. You know, everybody played with like the MySpace days, customizing and having glitter fall from the sky of your MySpace yeah. profile, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I knew a little bit of coding, like just enough to be dangerous, but I still didn't, I definitely didn't consider myself a software engineer or a coder or a hacker. I didn't even know that was a thing, right? Being a hacker, like in middle school, I had hacked into people's computers, but I had never like created software. And so I had this startup and it was a competitor to eBay. And what I was doing is I was paying people overseas in India to do the work for me. And they were super slow and there was all these communication barriers and they're on a different time zone. So now I'm on a different time zone. I'm like staying up super late so I can be on their time zone. And I finally got to the point where I was fed up and I started coding this stuff myself and I started competing with them. So I would give them a feature. I remember one of the features that I wanted, eBay has like this section that goes next to the product where it says the user's name and their rating, how many scores they have, how many feedback points they have. So like I wanted that little thing to get coded. And I gave it to the guys in India and they were just taking so long. And then they would do it and they weren't doing it properly. So that was like the first test that I remember where I said, okay, I'm going to give this to them, but I'm also going to do it on my own. And if I can do it before them, I'm going to cancel the contract. So nice. I did that. And then I just got to the point where I'm like, you know what? If I want to own a tech startup, I need to learn this stuff myself. And that's how I really dived into the world of coding, was as an entrepreneur. So even at the time, I was doing digital marketing, I was doing coding, I was making bots. I was making bots on Twitter before Twitter was even able to upload video or images. Like Twitter was text only, and I used to make bots that would communicate with people. And, you know, even at that time, I was creating bots, I was creating software. I never saw myself as a coder. I was a digital marketer who was using this thing called coding to accomplish my goals.
Nice. Okay. So let me kind of rewind a little bit because you did bring up when you were a kid. So for the kids that are listening to this show right now, what would you say, what advice would you give them for them to get started as a computer guy, as a coder, as a programmer? Where did you get your information to learn it? And what advice would you give them for them trying to get involved and to make something better of themselves?
So to any children out there, kids that might be listening to this, my advice would be start learning to code now. By the time the kids that are in grammar school today become adults, there's really not going to be that many jobs left that are not computer-based. It's really, really, like, I don't think people understand the magnitude of what's about to happen right now. Every single job is going to be automated. Companies are investing tons of money into automating and replacing people's jobs. And the only person that's able to do that is software engineers. The economy is about to flip on its head. There's going to be two primary job roles in the next, I want to say, decade, 20 years tops. Creatives, people who create things. So like what you're doing right now, creating a podcast, creating video content, creating things. And this is really the new television. So the fact that, you know, you're doing this and this podcast, you know, in 10 years from now, this could be the new NBC, the new ABC. Like there's an unlimited amount of potential in this space of creativity. And part of that is because it's very hard to automate that. It's very hard to automate an authentic conversation. Although people are trying to, and they are in certain small, minute situations, creativity is still something that's rather difficult to automate. And the next thing is going to be programmers, people who can create software. So either you're going to be creating video content or you're going to be creating software. And if you're not able to do those two things, every other job, the jobs at McDonald's, they're automating those. The jobs in the factory, they're automating those. They have robots that can do freaking backflips and you don't need to pay them and they don't take a sick day and they work 24 hours a freaking day. So if you're not learning technology, please, I beg you, learn technology, learn to code. It's a powerful skill. It can empower you as an entrepreneur. It can empower you to have a job at any of the leading companies. If you look, it's actually sad because I'm in the job market, so I see the salary offers that I receive versus people who are not in software engineering.
Yeah.
If you see the salary requirements that a software engineer will make at, let's say, the Discovery Channel. I actually got a job offer at the Discovery Channel a few months back. They were offering me a $15,000 signing bonus.
Okay.
Just to start work, like here, $15,000, and you didn't even work one day yet. And then $150,000 a year. And this isn't for me to be their CTO. This isn't even for me to be a tech lead. This is just to be one coding monkey, one mid-level engineer. Starting salary is $150K and they're giving you a $15,000 signing bonus. And the dude told me, the recruiter, he's like, listen, if we need to get you up to 200, I could probably do that. Just let me know. And if you look at Discovery Channel,
yeah,
same company, same organization, same content that's getting created, right? Yeah. And you look at the Discovery Channel and you look at what they're paying their digital marketer, what they're paying the other people that are on that staff, I guarantee you the salaries are not going to compare. Oh, just not.
It's going to be night and day. Yeah, totally. As a matter of fact, you guys, Anthony, my brother, you are just dropping diamonds, man. You guys, so let me take this back. I'm going to rewind the clock right now. So the reason why I'm saying this is because Anthony is telling you where this is headed, and I see it myself as well. But if we can go back to Ray Kroc before McDonald's was McDonald's and McDonald's was this huge franchise, that's what Anthony is dropping on you guys today. Imagine someone said, buy a McDonald's franchise right now because McDonald's is going to be huge. So that's the analogy that I'm using for you guys right now. Anthony is, like I said, he's dropping diamonds. He's saying, look, in the future, it's going to be creatives. In the future, it's going to be programmers. So I would strongly urge you guys to really take this serious, take yourself serious, and get involved in it. If you're a creative, start building the skills. If you're a programmer, get better. Start building the skills. At the end of the day, man, like we're telling you right now how to set yourself up, set up your family, set up your future. So with that said, let's talk about Kids Codes.
Yeah, so that's part of the reason why we created Disrupt. So our mission is to increase diversity in tech. So we were just talking about like, the career opportunities that are available for people in the tech industry. And it's actually sad with all that opportunity, there is a lack of diversity in tech. These skills are being taught. They're not even being taught enough in general, but they're being taught even less in urban communities and communities where people could really benefit from these skills. People in urban communities, even the ones that are being told to, you know, go to college and follow that path, a lot of them are becoming accountants and lawyers. And I have news for you. Becoming a lawyer is not a profitable profession anymore. It's just not. I spoke with a young woman last weekend. She's $200,000 in debt. She's working a job that she hates. She's working long hours and she's not being compensated enough to powerfully pay down that debt. if she would have learned to code during that 8 year plus stint that she was doing in college, learning to be a lawyer, and she was learning to code, she could have been making $250,000 a year, if not more, after 8 years of actually practicing her craft. So, you know, I say that to say a lot of the jobs that we were traditionally great jobs, you know why? College used to be an elitist game. There were only a few universities, Harvard University, Yale, the Ivy League schools, and it was an elitist game. And going to Harvard, graduating from Harvard, meant that you were one of these dynasty type of families, and then you were guaranteed a job because it was an elitist thing. It's not like that anymore. There's a million community colleges. Everyone has a degree, and there, people are getting degrees in things that aren't even relevant anymore. Accountants, dude, QuickBooks already has a bot that's more friendly than most of the accountants I've ever met. And again, the bot doesn't take days off. It doesn't get tired. It never has an attitude. It's available 24 hours a day. I can come home at 11 p.m. at night and do my taxes in the peace and private of my own home. Human beings cannot compete with that. And you don't have to pay. I pay $30. Why would I pay an accountant? You know what I mean? I can see, like, for a larger business, yeah, sure, get an accountant, get a consultant or a wealth management coach. It's a different conversation. But for the general day-to-day human being who has to do their taxes, accountants are going to go the same way as the television, the same way as the radio. It doesn't make sense anymore. It doesn't. Exactly. So these in these urban communities, just to ring it back in these urban communities, people are being told, stay in school. But the problem with traditional education is they're teaching 10-year-old skills in an industry and in a world that changes every 10 minutes. Every 10 minutes, there's a new technology coming out. Every 10 minutes, there's a new startup popping up. Every 10 minutes, there's a new innovation, right? If I would have told you to learn Bitcoin and cryptocurrency 4 years ago when you started college, let's say you're graduating college today, and yeah, 4 years ago, I would have told you, hey, you know what you should learn? Cryptocurrency. You should learn how to create your own Bitcoin and create your own ICO. I would have told you that 4 years ago. I would have sounded crazy. You would have been like, Bitcoin, what's that, kid? Get out of here, hacker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So universities, they cannot compete with the rapid evolution of education. So that's why we are launching the Disrupt University. The Disrupt University is 100% free online university to teach people the power of coding.
That's so awesome, man. My hats off to you, Anthony. I absolutely love what you're doing. In fact, we're going to start digging into Disrupt right now, but let's stick with the kids right now. I want to go into the trenches with the kids. And then from there, sure, then we're going to talk about Disrupt and what you guys are actually doing with Disrupt. So now you're in the trenches, you're rolling up the sleeves, you're talking to the kids. What problems are you seeing these kids? Are they? I know their mindset. So in society, there's levels, right? So mindsets are passed from generation to generation to generation. So since you're in the trenches, what challenges are you guys facing? Are they open to the information that you're giving them? Are they guarded? Are they blocked? What's going on with their mindset?
So, you know, initially, just like any new concept or something new, you know, there's a level of intimidation or a level of hesitation, and trust needs to be built and things of that nature. But once they see that they can create something and actually have it show up on the page,
yeah, they're pretty excited about that.
They're totally excited, and they're off to the races. And it's been amazing. It's been an inspiring experience to see kids that can code better than some adults, right? And yeah, and not even like better is probably the wrong word, but like with more enthusiasm and more passion than you see with like some adults, right? They're not scared to ask questions. They're not scared to, you know, to learn, because they're still in that phase in their life where everything is learning. They're still learning about the whole world. Whereas, you know, when you teach an adult or someone who's older, sometimes they think, okay, I already know this, or I should know this, right? But the kids don't have that. The kids are just complete open books, complete open canvases. So, you know, maybe more than kids, I don't know how many kids are going to watch this podcast, but I know a lot of parents might. So if I had to give a message to them, it's empower your kids, plant that seed and teach them how to code, like my mother taught me how to code in second grade, and you're going to see that seed blossom exponentially.
Okay. So now you mentioned, so Disrupt, it's a university, it's free, it's where there's going to be a lot of information. So can the parents and the kids also access Disrupt and start getting that information so they can start learning to code? Is that going to be an amazing source where people can go to learn these skills?
Absolutely. So Disrupt University will be launching in the next month. And when it launches, it will be 100% free. And it's designed not only for children, but for adults as well. And we're focusing on very specific skills. So I gave the example of blockchain. We're coming out with a blockchain bootcamp to teach you how to launch your own ICO. So you're going to be empowered to learn these new skills. So it's not only designed for beginners. We do have courses for beginners. Okay. But it's also designed for people who already know how to code and just want to learn a new skill and add a new skill to their tool belt. You know, we noticed a gap in the market. There's tons of coding boot camps and they're all very amazing, but a lot of them focus on like a one size fits all model where although they're being disruptive and they're teaching some new tech, it's a one size fits all beginner crash course. So while we do have a beginner crash course and we think learning to code for the first time is very important, we understand that learning is a lifelong journey and you're never going to be done learning. So our curriculum is going to continue to evolve based on the new technologies that come out. And all of our curriculums are very specialized. So we're releasing a VR bootcamp. I already know how to code. I know the basics. I want to learn VR. We're releasing an AI and bot machine learning bootcamp. And that's actually the first bootcamp that we're launching. And again, I already know how to code. I know some of the basics. I want to learn AI. I want to learn how to build bots. I want to learn how to talk to an Amazon Echo device and have it talk to me in my home. Like I want to build an app that works on the Amazon platform. So these are the things that we're creating. Again, you can come in as a beginner and you'll be able to get the education and we'll point you to some prerequisites that you should know before you take the course. But our goal is to create this online university where you can continue your learning for life. Learning to code is a lifelong journey. New technology comes out every day and we want to be there to support to support communities all around the world.
Awesome. Now with that said, let's talk about Puerto Rico, what you guys are doing in Puerto Rico. I absolutely love it. Let's start digging in there. I know you guys are starting, it's the Caribbean Institute of Technology, right?
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about that. What's going on with that?
So Disrupt was really founded out of this trip to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
So I went to Puerto Rico. Well, let's backtrack even before I got there. So okay. when the hurricane first happened, me and a buddy of mine, we bought a pallet of water and a pallet of food. And we loaded it on a truck and we dropped it off at a location. And then we did one of these, right? We gave ourselves a pat on the back.
Yeah.
And we went back to our jobs and we went back to our regular lives. And then in January, I met a man named David from Puerto Rico. And he has lived in Puerto Rico for the last 8 years, went to Puerto Rico for a simpler life. And when the hurricane happened, his for-profit business transformed into a nonprofit. And the same trucks that he used to use to do tours and be a tour guide, he started using to do relief efforts. And he told me his story. And he says, Anthony, I'm doing the best work of my life. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm not doing the best work of my life. Like, what am I doing? And so, yeah, it was crazy. It's like people don't say that every day, right?
Yeah.
And so we go to a diner the next day. We actually we went to a seminar called Landmark. So I took him to this mindset and training seminar. He sits in the back of the room. He's listening about like mindset and getting rid of limiting beliefs and creating possibilities in the world. And he comes from the back of the room at the end. He's like, bro, what is this? We need this in Puerto Rico. People need to think like this, right?
Yeah.
And so after the event, we go to a diner and we get some food. And I had the worst tuna fish sandwich of my life, but I'm so happy that I had it. And we just start brainstorming about how we can help Puerto Rico. And he's telling me about the fact that there's no power over there. So the first thing, I'm the techie guy. I'm like, dude, we'll do solar panels. It'll be fine. There's tons of sunshine out there. And, you know, we went to SolarCity's website. We filled out the form so we can get some quotes on solar panels. And then he starts telling me about the economy and about how a huge portion of their economy relies on tourism and leisure. And now that people aren't going there as tourists anymore because the electric grid is down and people are scared because of the hurricane damage, not only did people lose the roof on their house, but now they lost their job. And, you know, the fact that an island like Puerto Rico, like, I don't know, I know Puerto Ricans here in New York. They're trendsetters. They're, you know, some of the originators of hip hop. They're some of the originators of huge companies. They're entrepreneurs. They're doing things. They're movers and shakers in the world, in New York City. So to hear that in Puerto Rico, the best thing that a young adult can aspire to become is, for lack of a better word, someone's servant, bring someone room service in a hotel. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there has to be upward mobility. There has to be something that people are striving to become, something that can provide wealth and financial stability for not only themselves, but for their children. So I took the skill that I know provides me financial freedom, that I know as long as I have Wi-Fi, I'll be able to make a living and support myself. And I said, let's teach that skill. Let's teach the skill of coding to the island of Puerto Rico. So we did the math. There's 3 million people in Puerto Rico. And our goal is to impact all 3 million of those people. Now, that doesn't mean they all have to learn how to code. But our goal is to create a digital economy in Puerto Rico that does not only rely on tourism. Yes, it's a beautiful island. Yes, you might want to go down there on a vacation. Yes, you might want to get engaged there and bring your wife there. But create a digital economy so that companies like Google, companies like IBM, companies like Twilio will come down and invest in that island and create the tech ecosystem that really could be the Tokyo of the Caribbean, really could be the India or the Philippines, or the Ukraine of the Caribbean. There's so much developer work. Like myself, 10 years ago, I was sending money over to people in India. There's so much development work that happens overseas to people in quote-unquote third world countries because they'll work for lower wages. Puerto Rico is part of the United States. They're on the same time zone as New York. Yes, the economy's in kind of rough shape. So that means people will work for less wages, but every single man and woman that's born there is a United States citizen. So what that means is that if you're working with a developer who's in Puerto Rico and you like their work, you can hire them full time and they can come to America right away. You don't need a HC1 visa or anything. So the fact that the island is struggling so much when it is part of the United States, when they do pay taxes to the United States and they're not allowed to vote in the presidential election, to see them struggling in the way that they are, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's 3 hours from New York. You can hop on a plane and literally take a meeting there and come back in the same day. So our goal is to create a digital economy in Puerto Rico, and we're going to do that by bringing coding education there. So to kind of rein it all back in, Disrupt University is our online university. It's where all of our education is hosted. All of that education is 100% free. The Caribbean Institute of Technology is where we combined an education with a vacation. So now we're creating kind of a new form of tourism where we market this to people who were possibly going to take a course in New York or one of the other windy cities and give them the proposition of, would you rather have palm trees or pigeons? And we're pretty confident that enough people will choose palm trees.
Yes.
And so when you go down there, for every single student that we get from the United States, we sponsor a tuition of a student on the island. So no one who's born on the island of Puerto Rico has to pay to go to the school. And in addition to that, all the education, everything that we're going to teach online, everything that we're going to teach in person will also be online. All of our lectures, every single class is going to be recorded. So we're really democratizing education. I don't want to stop anyone from getting an education because they can't financially afford it. I learned to code on my own. I learned to code with nothing but Wi-Fi. So we want to enable that. So all of our curriculums are open source. They're all online. Anyone who lives in Puerto Rico with an internet connection, even if they don't get a scholarship, will be able to take it. Anyone in any urban community, anyone in anywhere in the world will be able to access our education. And if you want to come to Puerto Rico and have that experience with us, that will be the part of the business where we're generating revenue. And what we're creating is an experience where you're learning to code in the AM, and then in the PM, you're jumping off a waterfall, and you're having an experience that not only transforms you as far as an education, but transforms you as a human being.
That's amazing, Anthony. I absolutely freaking love what you guys are doing. Truly love that. As a matter of fact, I want to break the stigma, right? There's a stigma with the word hacker. When you think hacker, you think it takes me back to the movie Swordfish. You think someone hacking, you know, a whole system and, you know, stealing money or stealing some, mm-hmm. you know, projects or information. But I wanted to flip it on its head, and I wanted to bring you on it so that you could show you could use these skills for good. You can impact the world. You could truly plant seeds for the next generation and the generation to follow. I absolutely love, and I want to acknowledge you for what you're doing with Disrupt. And I love the name, man. The name is, it's awesome. You're truly disrupting. Hello, Anthony? Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Where did I lose you?
I didn't lose you at all. I heard everything that you said. Okay. I think you couldn't hear me for a sec.
Yeah, it kind of froze for a sec. But yeah, so I absolutely love what you guys are doing, and I acknowledge you for it, brother. I mean, you are using your skills and your superpowers, and I want to call them superpowers. You're using them for the better and to impact society in a positive way, and I think it's freaking phenomenal. It's amazing. And so thank you for that. Now, where can my audience get a hold of you guys, and how can they contact you?
Absolutely. So you can email me. My email address is anthony@disrupt.digital, or you can visit us online at disrupt.university.
Awesome. Well, you guys heard it here. I'm Daniel Lizalde with Dropping Diamonds. I had an amazing conversation with Anthony. Anthony is doing some amazing, amazing things, and he's just planting seeds in a positive way, and I absolutely love that. So thank you so much for listening to Dropping Diamonds. We are on every Monday. You can search us on iTunes, or you can search us on Stitcher. I'm very active on Instagram. This is episode 21. And Anthony, thank you so much for coming on to Dropping Diamonds. And
thank you, Dan.
You're welcome. And I will see you guys on the next episode. Peace. Take care.
So you've been listening to Dropping Diamonds with Daniel Lizalde. And if you got any value from this content or know someone that would, we'd appreciate you. Tell them about us. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube. Just search Dropping Diamonds. And last but not least, please show us some love. You can leave us some feedback on iTunes and Stitcher and tell us what you think. Well, thank you so much for listening to Dropping Diamonds. I'm Daniel Lizalde. Have a great day. Go crush your week. Go crush your month. Go annihilate your year. Thank you so much. Adios, amigos.
Online. You've been listening to Dropping Diamonds with your host, Daniel Lizalde.